open God's word, let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Eternal, loving, righteous Heavenly Father, our hearts are overfilled with gratitude and thankfulness unto Thee for the things, Lord, that Thou dost do for us. We are blessed because we can call Thee our Father, Thou who art omnipotent, all-knowing, and just. And so, Father, we just pray Thee, Lord, that we would glorify Thy name in this day, that we would praise Thee well from the depths of a sincere heart, Lord, that would honor Thee and that would magnify Thy name, Father, for Thou art so worthy. And now, as we would partake of this Thy word, we pray blessings upon the reading and the meditation thereof. Stir our hearts unto Thee, draw us close unto Thee, for we would come before Thee with reverence and with godly fear. These things we do pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. For our reading this morning, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke and read chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 57. Luke chapter 1. Verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none that of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. His mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. May God bless the reading of the The Lord Jesus Christ came here upon this earth to bring forth the Word of God, to bring forth the Word of His Father, and we take those things to be true, and we take those things to be highly esteemed among God, and we strive as His children to be obedient to those words that the Lord Jesus has brought unto us, and to know, Lord, that they came from heaven on high. And so there was a time where Jesus did bring forth that word, and he was on a mount, and he brought forth this, what is referred to as a Sermon on the Mount. And at the beginning of that sermon, he spoke some Beatitudes. And some of those Beatitudes were, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." This is God's word. This is God's word. This is what he wants us to hear. This is what he wants us to know. And we can believe and are certain that this is truth. This is truth. All other things may be a lie, but this is truth. This is truth. This is what he wants of us. And so we see here a time in history where the Lord was bringing this now all to pass, where there was now going to be the time of salvation, where the manifestation of the mercy that was prophesied was coming to earth, and where there could be peace that would be brought, and where righteousness, the true righteousness of God, could be revealed. And so, in the beginning of this gospel, and here earlier in the same chapter, Beloved physician Luke writes that there was a man named Zacharias, and he had a wife whose name was Elizabeth, and they were he was a priest, and she was of the daughters of Aaron, and it says that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Zacharias and Elizabeth were righteous in God's sight, and they were walking in the ways of the Lord blamelessly. Now consider the environment that they were in. There were Pharisees and there were scribes who were maybe saying the right things, but were not living the right things. And the people knew their hypocrisy. This is where Zacharias and Elizabeth found themselves, in that environment. They found themselves in an environment where the Roman army controlled, the Roman Empire controlled their land, and yet they were both righteous before the Lord, righteous before the God, and they were walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. And so though it was a difficult environment, yet they were able to walk blamelessly before the Lord. They were able to walk in God's righteousness before the Lord, even in that environment. And so Gabriel comes and manifests himself to Elizabeth. We know this story. And he says, you're going to bear a son, and you'll call his name John. This was something that was revealed to her. And yet, it says there in the beginning of the chapter that both Zacharias and Elizabeth were well stricken in age, in years. They were towards the sunset of their lives. And yet, Gabriel comes to them and says, Elizabeth, you're going to have a child. And so we began here with verse number 57, where the time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Here it was, if we can just simply imagine it with our eyes. Here's Zacharias, Elizabeth, well stricken in years, and the Lord shows mercy on her. And that mercy was shown the giving of a son that she would have. And it says that her neighbors and her cousins, and they all came and they rejoiced with her because the Lord showed mercy to her. In that fact that the Lord was showing great mercy toward her, they came and they rejoiced with her. And the Bible speaks of that we should rejoice with those that rejoice. We should rejoice with them. And thank God and praise God. And so it was that the people there thought to name him Zacharias, but Gabriel told them, no, his name shall be John. And so both Zacharias and Elizabeth were on the same page, and they named him John. And after he had wrote on that tablet that his name shall be John, it says his mouth was opened immediately because he was mute, because he questioned as to how this would be in his old age to Gabriel. It says that at this point where from before the pregnancy through the birth and now 8 days later until the time of circumcision, he was mute. And at this point, when he wrote that his name shall be John, it says that his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed and he spake. And the first thing he does is he praises God. He praises God. God who made him mute, he praises God. He was righteous before God. And he was walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. He praised God for what God has done. And fear came about all them, and all these sayings were noised abroad through all the hill country of Judea. And all of them that heard laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. The Lord was working mighty things here. It was a time when the Lord was orchestrating all these things, that John the Baptist should be born, and then shortly afterwards, the Lord Jesus Christ, through a miraculous conception, would be born of Mary. And the Lord was making these things to pass. And so the hand of the Lord was with him. And then Zacharias breaks out into prophecy. He prophesies, and he says, it says here, the father of Zacharias, and his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying. Now, it says here that he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And earlier it speaks that Elizabeth also was filled with the Holy Ghost, because they were both righteous before God, because they kept the commandments and the ordinances blamelessly. And so here's Zacharias. He breaks forth into prophecy and he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He recognizes what is happening. He recognizes that his son, John the Baptist, will be a forerunner to Christ, and he will give the knowledge of salvation to the people. And then he will fade away, and the Lord Jesus Christ will become prominent. And so he says that the Lord God of Israel hath visited and redeemed his people. This is what the Lord was doing. He was visiting. He came to make his presence known unto the people. He visited the people and he redeemed them. And he hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Again, this is Zacharias prophesying and speaking of the great things that the Lord is doing here, and the marvelous things that he's doing. He is a redeemer. He came to as a horn of salvation, and he came to save us. Well, here John the Baptist is prophesying that we would be saved and delivered from the hand of our enemies, and from the hand of all them that hate us. But Jesus Christ came even more than simply that. But as is written here in Galatians, it says that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. He became the horn of our salvation. He became our Savior. He became our Redeemer, as John the Baptist was prophesying. Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. This is what Jesus Christ came to do, to deliver us from this present evil world, to forgive us our sins, to redeem us, to be our Savior, and to fulfill the prophecies that were of old. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. The Lord was making himself manifest. The Lord is visiting us. And the intent is to perform the mercy that was promised to our fathers. This is what the Lord has done. And so we see throughout scriptures the goodness and the mercy of God. So he's coming to perform this mercy that was promised by our fathers. In Psalm 145, it speaks that the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. This is our God. And he's coming to perform that mercy to the people he's coming to visit. Further, it says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works. The tender mercies of God are over all of his works. And the Lord here, as Zacharias is prophesying, he's coming to perform these tender mercies. Our God is merciful. In Micah we read, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. This is our God. He delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. Mercy was shown unto Elizabeth, and the people recognized it, and they came to rejoice with her. God delights in mercy. These are the things that he delights in, that he has pleasure in. We have things that we delight in. We delight in a birth as well. We delight when the mercies of God come upon us. We delight in these things. But God delights in mercy. This is what pleases the Lord well, is to delight in this mercy. Mercy that only he can give, and to the measure that he can give. So Zacharias is prophesying here, and he's saying, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. This is what what Zacharias is prophesying, that he would grant unto us that we might serve him in holiness and righteousness. This is the prophecy. And this is what we are, this is our part. That God is fulfilling his part, and he's granting unto us that we can be delivered out of the hand of our enemies, that we can serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. God is giving us this ability. He's granting it unto us. And this was prophesied, and this was spoken of. Again, going back to Psalm 145, it says that the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all of his works. As we are being granted that we might serve him in holiness and righteousness, it's because the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all of his works. As he is righteous, as he is holy, he's asking us to serve him in righteousness and in holiness. And so therefore we go back to the Beatitude that says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That we would be seeking out the righteousness that comes from God and from him alone. His righteousness. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he says that we being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Filled with this righteousness of who God is. God is righteous in all of his works, holy in all of his ways. We might be filled with the fruit of that same righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Zacharias was glorifying God. He was praising God. We can glorify God. We can praise him when we yield ourselves to his righteousness. The Apostle Paul also in Philippians, in the same book here, he writes, recognizing the shortcomings of his own righteousness and how it was imperative for him to yield himself to the righteousness of God. He says, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He's coming to this righteousness that it has to be of God by faith. This righteousness that pleases him well. This righteousness that Zacharias and Elizabeth were living in. They were both righteous before God. And we're being called to live righteously before God. Not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. By faith, pleasing him well. Hungering and thirsting after that righteousness. And when we hunger and thirst after that righteousness, when we are yielded to him and we are pleading for the Lord that he would fill us with his righteousness, that we would put aside all other forms and understandings of righteousness and yield to the Lord and allow him to work in us, that his righteousness would be filled in us. Christ says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees and scribes looked the part. They looked the part. But inwardly, they were not righteous. They were not righteous. We are to hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God, which is by faith, yielding ourselves to him, yearning for it, longing for it, hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness. And according to his word, which is truth, he will fill us. He will fill us with his righteousness. This is the way that we are to walk in, because he promised, and he's making this of the prophets of old, he promised that this would come to pass. And he made an oath that he swore unto Abraham our fathers, and he would that he would grant unto us that we would be able to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Even as Zacharias and Elizabeth did. They were righteous before God in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. They were righteous before God. Further, Zacharias prophesies and says, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. John the Baptist is 8 days old, and already Zacharias is able to prophesy what this child will do, what this little baby will do. He would prepare the ways of the Lord to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Such a beautiful thought, such a beautiful thought that Christ came here. Christ came here that we could have a remission of our sins. No more sins. We're free. We're cleared. There's no more sin in our lives. We're free. We're free of that. We are no longer in that bondage. We are no longer have any condemnation toward us because we are free of our sins. We're in remission of our sins, just as one would be in remission of their cancer. They no longer have cancer. They're in a healthy state. But we are in remission of our sins, which have eternal consequences. And we rejoice in these things that the Lord is doing for us. He has raised up for us a horn of salvation. He has redeemed his people. He is merciful, and he's performing that mercy unto the people. He doesn't want to see any that would go to condemnation, but that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We receive this remission of our sins through the tender mercy of our God. Again, our God who is merciful. He doesn't retain his anger forever, but he delights in mercy. He has abundant mercy. And so we rejoice through this, that we receive the remission of sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light unto them that sit in darkness, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. This is what the Lord wants for us. He has every beautiful intention for us, that we no longer have to be in darkness, that we don't no longer have to have the condemnation of sin hanging over our heads. But there is a responsibility that we have with that. In Romans 13, it says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is a fulfilling of the law. And knowing, and that knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." And now he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Just as Zacharias was prophesying, that the day spring from on high hath visited us. And so he's saying here, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We have the light has been shown to us. We were sitting in the shadow of death. We were sitting in darkness. But the light came forth. He had visited us. He had visited us. And he brought forth the light. And so now we cast off the works of darkness. And we put on that armor of light. And we go forth in his ways. And we desire to please him well. How beautiful of a glorious thing it is that even as we experienced this morning, how the sun came up and it just shone brightly in the east. We rejoice in that. The night is gone. The darkness is gone. No more need to use lights. The light has come. The light has come. And we rejoice in that. We thank him that he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Then the last thing here that Zacharias prophesies is that our Redeemer, our Savior, he who is the horn of our salvation, he wants to guide our feet in the way of peace. In the way of peace. This is what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to be guided. He wants us to be led and into a path that is a path of peace, the way of peace. Even as we would think of a road or a trail or some means where there's a distance to go and there's a trail there, there's a path there, there's a way there. And the Lord wants us to walk in it. And that walking and that way is the way of peace. That way is the way of peace. God is a God of peace. And he wants us to walk in that way. And therefore, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. When our Lord Jesus Christ was born, there was an angel that made a proclamation. He said, glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace. On earth peace. This is the reason Jesus came, that we might have peace. He wants us to have peace, and that peace would be in him. In John 14, it speaks, Jesus says these words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus came, our Redeemer, our Savior, to guide us in the way of peace, in the pathway of peace, in the life of peace. And Jesus says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. The peace that comes from Jesus Christ. And it's not a peace that as the world would give. That great peace he gives to us. It's not a peace where we can sit in a quiet place and do some meditation technique and receive a peace. That's not what Jesus is referring to. It's far greater. Far greater. The peace that Jesus Christ can give. He says, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave unto you. And so he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Again, think of the environment that Zacharias and Elizabeth were in. Corruption on every level. Corruption in the temple, corruption in the synagogues, corruption in the civil government, corruption from publicans, There was corruption on every level. Yet, they were righteous before God. They were keeping the commandments and the ordinances of God blamelessly. It didn't matter their environment that they were in. Jesus says also, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Zacharias and Elizabeth understood this perfectly well. They had tribulation in the world, but they could have peace in the Lord. And Jesus Christ here is saying, in me, you can have peace. And he speaks these words to us, that in him we might have peace. We don't need to fear. A presidential election this year, we don't need to fear. There's corruption in the world. 2,000 years ago, there's corruption in the world today. We don't need to fear. Jesus has overcome. In him, in Jesus, we can have peace. And so he wants us to walk in this way of peace. And so he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Romans says, and specifically chapter 8, verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." We are to have a spiritual mind. We are to walk in the ways of the Spirit. We are to walk in the way of peace. And when we walk in the ways of the Spirit, and when we are spiritually minded, the Word of God says that we do have life and we do have peace. But if we're carnally minded, we don't have peace. If we have strife and bitter envying in our hearts, we don't have peace. If we want to get revenge, we don't have peace. To be carnally minded is death. When I'm looking out for myself, there's death. When I have selfish motives, there's death. That's carnally minded. But to be spiritually minded, to seek to glorify and honor God, to walk in his ways, to keep the commandments and ordinances of God blamelessly, and to walk righteously before our God, who is a righteous God of himself. And when we are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, we have peace. We have peace. Further in Romans it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Zacharias and Elizabeth were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That righteousness that we are hungering and thirsting after, the righteousness of God, and the peace that we can have from him who is peace. We can have this joy in the Holy Ghost. And this is what he's calling us to, and this is what he desires us to have, that we can experience these things, and that we would walk in his ways. As he is peace, he asks us to walk in peace. The Apostle Paul wrote two letters, and they were both lengthy to the Corinthians. And at the very conclusion of the second one, these final words that he has to give to the Corinthians, he says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." If we live in peace, the God of love and peace shall be with us. If we don't live in peace, the God of peace will not be with us. If we have still bitter envying and strife in our hearts, the God of peace shall not be with us. But if we live in peace, if we go forth in the way of peace, as Jesus, as Zacharias was prophesying that Jesus would do, that he would guide our feet into the way of peace, that we would go down that trail, that we would stay on that trail of the way of peace. And if we live in that peace, then the God of love and peace will be with us. A beautiful thought. The God of peace. The God of peace, he will be with us. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says that we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What binds us together in the Spirit is peace. Peace. Being a peacemaker. And then we can be called a child of God. Striving for forgiveness. Striving for reconciliation. Striving for restoration. This is endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. To the Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes that we would do all things without murmuring or disputings. Don't complain. Don't argue. Don't dispute one with another. That we would do all things without murmurings and disputings. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. How are we a child of God? By being a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So that we could be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Again, we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You go anywhere in a public place, and there's a large gathering there in America here, and you can just see how we live in a crooked and a perverse nation. But we can shine as lights. We can shine as lights. We can show forth the light of Jesus Christ. We can be a peacemaker. We can walk in this way of peace. We can strive to show forth the light of Jesus Christ. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This is what the Lord is calling us to, this trail, this way, this pathway, this road of peace, that we would live it, that we would walk on it. This is truth. This is what he wants us to do. And Jesus has peace, and he came to give us peace. And we can go forth that we would have peace in him. And so, again, another exhortation he's giving to Timothy, saying, follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace, these four things, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This is what the Lord is calling us to dwell in this way of peace. Zacharias, Elizabeth, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were walking in righteousness before God, keeping the commandments and the ordinances of God blamelessly. Blamelessly, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We can too. We can too. Yielded to the Spirit. Psalm 37:37 says, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Mark that perfect man. Mark him. Watch him. Observe him. Review him. Look at him. Mark that perfect man, and behold the upright. The end of that man is peace. Strife is not a part of his life. Contention, not a part of his life. It's not a part of his life. He's walking in the way of peace. He's walking in uprightness. He's keeping the commandments of the Lord and the ordinances blamelessly. He is walking in that way of peace. He's walking in holiness and righteousness before God all the days of his life. Even as Zacharias and Elizabeth, well stricken in years, all the days of their life, they walked before the Lord. May God grant us grace to walk in such a way. Amen.
What a message of comfort that the Word of God has brought us this morning. That the Lord, the God, our Creator, has provided for us all that we need in Jesus Christ. And in this world that has tribulation and strife and confusion, that there is a refuge for our soul in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there's great confidence that we have. We read here that Zechariah says, "As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God promised that there would come a seed of the woman that would bruise the head of the serpent. Our enemy, the one who holds people in fear of death, that was Jesus Christ who came to bruise his head that we might be free. The promises that were given to Abraham when he said that all nations of the world through thy seed shall be blessed. That is the seed, Jesus Christ. And through him, all nations of the world would be blessed. In the time of Daniel, Daniel interpreted a dream of the king. And the king had a dream of a statue that was made of different materials that represented many different kingdoms that would come throughout all of history. But at the end, there was a stone that was made without hands that would come and destroy and crush that kingdom at the end. And it would grow up into a kingdom that would reign forever. And that is the kingdom of our Lord. And our King, Jesus Christ, he's coming again to bring that to come to pass. We don't need to look anywhere else but to Jesus Christ. All of the promises of God in him are yea and amen. But the world and the stress that it brings and the trouble and the worry, it's seeking to mold us into its image. And my young friend, you may feel that pressure. And I see an interesting example here in what's taking place with Zacharias when he's named. The community comes together and they have certain expectations that they're going to name this boy Zacharias. And your peers and the world around you has certain expectations that you need to funnel into their form and their mold. But there's a mom who loves the Lord and heard the promise of God and the special calling and knows that there's something better and different that God is calling this young man to. I said, no, his name is going to be John. He's going to be different. The Lord has a task and a mission for you too. Maybe it's not to proclaim the coming of the Messiah, but it is certainly to bear witness to the empty tomb and that Jesus Christ lives. And you can know that through faith in Jesus Christ and letting him do the work and bringing out that righteousness in your life so that you can testify, Jesus does live. And he's working in my life, and he's making a difference, and testify of that to the world, just like John testified to the world of Christ. We are in a world that brings a lot of tribulation. But the comfort that we take from this scripture is the words of Jesus, who's called us to that, to be peacemakers. To be poor in spirit. And he prayed. He prayed, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. For now we are in the world, but by faith we are held in the hands of our Lord and kept from the evil. That's our hope and that's our confidence. And what a comfort that is. May that fill our hearts, and may the word that we've heard truly be upon our lips and in our hearts and lives to God's honor and glory. Amen.